Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and I've been reviewing sex toys professionally for 11 years. Who are you, friends?
So many years. I'm Billy. I am a sex educator and porn maker, and I have done so much adjacent. All of my careers are adjacent to sex toys at this point. Or no, wait, sorry, let me take that again. All of my careers are related to adult toys at this point. Looped GameStop in there.
Ah, I see what you're doing. I see it.
Everything I've done professionally in adulthood is fully related to adult toys, though.
So today I had to pick the topic of the episode, and I was going to pick period sex because I'm on my period. And I was grumpy and I just feel like yelling about that. But then I was like, no, I don't know that I have an hour worth of grumpy things to say about that. So my spouse had suggested that we do an episode about sex toy reviewing. And today, the day that we're recording this, does happen to be the 11-year anniversary of the day that I started my blog, which was like, I was reviewing toys a little bit before that on a website that shall not be named.
I always forget that website existed until I have reason to remember it, and so much comes flooding back.
Yes, so to give a little background, because I think we both got into sex toy reviewing through this website, and it was a sex toy retailer site that offered a program where, like, if you wrote detailed on-site reviews for certain products, you could earn points, which could then be spent on more products, which is, of course, a very appealing idea if you don't have a lot of money for sex toys and you enjoy using them and writing about them. And so I got into that. I probably did that for like less than a month before I was like, I really like this. I think I want to make this into more of a thing. So I bought a domain name and everything. Started up the blog, and it's literally been 11 years, and I haven't checked the stats recently in terms of like what percentage of my posts have been sex toy reviews, but my guess would be about half. Like, it's maybe not quite that much, but like, it's a lot. I've definitely done hundreds upon hundreds of sex toy reviews. So many toys have been in and on my junk. It's just been a huge part of my life. My opening question was, what is your history with sex toy reviewing / how did you get into it beyond just like that website? I almost said its name.
They email me every once in a while, like I've gotten an email recently and I was like, why, you're around? What are you still doing?
I know. It's like, you belong back in 2012 where you came from,
right? I don't know. It's like suddenly getting an update on the drama from like your high school clique. Like, you're just like, oh, y'all are all still talking and like fucking each other's exes? Weird. Anyway.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So I was on that site, I think, a little bit longer than you, and eventually branched out to my own blog and did reviewing and writing there for quite a while, a couple of years, and then moved more to like sex toy retail and in-person sex education, which is much of the same skill set, implemented in different ways. And now, obviously, I am doing what I'm doing, which involves a lot of sex toys as well. And I'm interested in incorporating reviewing kind of back into what I'm doing, because I like sex toys. I like getting free sex toys. I like talking about sex toys and being like up to date on like what's happening, right? I also do think I am particularly good at like assessing the qualities of sex toys, noticing the nuance, and like articulating that and explaining it to people. And frankly, I just think it'll be an interesting thing to explore in a video medium. Like, I think it's just another genre of video that I would like to add to my arsenal to kind of keep myself interested in making different things and also keep my, like, content diverse or whatever.
Yeah, I find these video sex toy reviews very interesting. Like, the ones that are sort of more sexy or porny. Because over the years, I've received a lot of messages and comments from people, some of which were sexual harassment, essentially, and some were a little bit more polite, where people are like, I want to see you use the toy. And I would always, of course, be like, fuck you, pay me. But I do think that there's actually a huge market for that. And a lot of people, understandably, like if they're reading about a toy, they want to be able to see it in action, especially if it's a person who they think is hot using it. So I'm curious about, like, how has it been different for you when you have done some of those sexy video reviews? Because in my mind, I feel like I would feel pressured to perform more positive feelings about the toy than I actually had, because if the idea is to be sexy, then like the disappointment of a bad toy is like not really sexy. But like, how do you approach it?
Yeah, well, I think first I want to touch on what you were saying about folks like wanting to see the toy in use when looking for reviews of it, and I think that probably really speaks to the mindset of the person shopping for the toy and how they shop for sex toys. You and I are hobbyists and like most of our friends, and when we shop for sex toys, we shop like a collector buying another thing to add to a collection, right? So we're like researching things or whatever. In the same way, if I was buying a video game, I would be looking up like what the next thing I'm spending $60 on is, right? But I think there are other people who like don't even think about sex toys. I think, frankly, a majority of people don't even think about sex toys until they're horny and going to buy one. You know, like until they're thinking about an exciting date that they're going to go on, or they're like wanting to spice things up, right? Like it, the idea to buy a sex toy is spurned by the idea of wanting to do sexy things. So like, I also understand like kind of wanting the sales pitch to be sexy, but like, I don't know, the rest of us are just like in an industry trying to talk about our products, and it's fucking weird, man. It's fucking weird. But I do like, I don't know that I have an answer for how I approach these reviews, because I haven't done many of them yet. I've just thought a lot about it because I'm a perfectionist. But I do definitely feel a bit of pressure to keep it sexy, but that doesn't mean I feel pressure to make the toy more like seem better than it is. So like when I was reviewing the Real Cock, which I do love, it's a fantastic toy, but one of the complaints I have about it is it's fucking heavy. It's so heavy, and the balls are huge, so you have this like claw situation to kind of hold it, or you're sticking your finger in the vacuolock hole, which is just weird. So there's just like no comfy way to hold it, and it's a workout to use it. And like when I was reviewing it, I wasn't just like, so anyway, this thing's dumb because of this. I like played up my exhaustion and would like get myself really close and be like, and it would be a lot easier to actually get there if I was, if this didn't weigh like 3 fucking pounds and wasn't, you know, like, so I like kind of eroticized the frustration.
That's so interesting. I would have never thought to do that, but that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I do find a little bit of pressure to, if not be sexy, at the very least be entertaining. So at the very least, like, make it funny in the ways that I am complaining about it or whatever. Whereas in times when I was writing about it, I felt, and like in the blogger, toy reviewer, like consumer product reviewer persona, I felt a little more inclined to be more clinical in describing it, and like had to teach myself to infuse more personal stories as a way to add entertainment. But I still pretty much always shied away from the erotic because of commenters like you were talking about.
Yeah, it's a weird tone to get right. And I think it's one of those things that you really just have to find what feels like the right balance for you. And like, I'll definitely include sexy or personal anecdotes in reviews when relevant, but it's not really my main thing. But a little bit on my testing process, because it has changed a lot over 11 years. Like, I think when I first started, I was just masturbating way more than I am now. Like I had a higher sex drive. At certain points earlier in the run of my blog, I didn't have a partner, or at least not a regular partner. So I was just like masturbating a lot. And so if I had toys to review, I would just sort of incorporate them into my lineup of what I was using regularly. And I don't really do that anymore because, first of all, like it started to feel like there was too much overlap between work and masturbation. And there are so many times when I want to masturbate that are like for relaxation or like to feel more in touch with my body, to help regulate my nervous system. And if I'm introducing any element of work into that, even if it's just like taking mental notes, like I can't really be in that nice moment with myself.
Right.
And also, so much more of the orgasms that I'm having and the sexual encounters that I'm having are with my partner, whether they're over the phone or in person. Mm-hmm. And I think we both just prefer that I use toys that we know work well for me. Like we don't want to have like confusing controls and disappointing orgasms to deal with when we're trying to connect with each other. Mm-hmm. So these days I do like dedicated testing sessions. And I remember our friend Epiphora of heyepiphora.com, who I think of as the queen of the sex toy reviewers, who definitely was one of my like mentors and inspirations when I started. She, for a long time, has talked about having dedicated testing sessions where she would be sitting at her desk and watching porn and trying toys and taking notes. And I didn't really resonate with that approach for a long time. And then now that I've been doing it for much longer, I really do. I'm like, it's just actually so nice to have a very clear line between work masturbation and fun masturbation. It just really helps my brain. And it also means that any pleasure or enjoyment or fun I do get out of testing a toy is extra and a bonus and doesn't feel like it has to happen. Because unfortunately, like, yeah, the reality of sex toy reviewing is a lot of the time it's disappointing.
Because because here's the thing. There are a lot of sex toys in the world, right? And like we've both have said a million times that like everyone's bodies and tastes are different. So like the number of sex toys that are going to work spectacularly for you for any individual person are pretty small. And for the average person, that is also the size of their collection is pretty small. We get all of the toys. Often we get them whether or not we think necessarily we're going to love it, right? Like we're not even selecting based on things we know we love. And I don't know. I feel like when you try so many, you're like, no, I know what I like. It's these four. Stop giving me this other shit. It's these four. I know what I like. I don't know what you – I figured it out.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, you get something that you can add. But like, I don't know. The real cock is the first toy that I've been excited about in like 5 years.
Yeah, it's incredibly rare that I like a toy I've been sent to review enough that I actually add it to my regular lineup of things that I'm using recreationally. And this leads in nicely. We got a lot of listener questions on this, and one of them was about, do companies let you pick which toys you're sent? And I always find it really odd when they don't. Like, occasionally I will get an email from a company that they're like, we're particularly trying to promote this product or these products, and so we'd like to send you these. And I will look at them and they'll be just like generic bullshit that I know I've tried before. Sometimes even like literally like white label, basically duplicates of things I've tried before and been disappointed by before. And they're wanting to pay me money because a lot of my reviews these days are sponsored reviews, meaning that I'm paid money to write about them, but will still write an honest and fair review. And so I'm kind of thinking when I get these emails, like, okay, like I'll take your money, but like, it really would be better spent if you let me pick what I think I might actually want. Because like having done this for so long, I can make a pretty good educated guess when I look at a toy, look at its specs, like if it's going to work well for me, if it's going to feel good. And I can also tell when a toy is almost certainly going to disappoint me. And so when they do give me the option, which I would say is more frequent at this point, I will go through and make like a wish list from the site and send that to them and say I would be willing to review any of these. And sometimes they'll come back and say, like, we don't actually need any of those to be reviewed. And at this point, I've been doing it for long enough and I have so little room in my apartment for shitty new toys that if that happens, I'm like, that's okay. Like, I don't think we're a good fit to work together because those are the things I wanted to review. And, like, I really don't think it's worth either of our time or your money for me to review anything else, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That was similar to my experience. Like, I've had some sites that give you, like, short lists of stuff that they're looking for, or, like, I know we've both had experiences when, like, new products come out and we get press samples of that new product. Like, yeah, that makes sense, right? But generally, if someone is approaching us, they give you at least some options. The real great people let you pick color, but, like, that's only when you're lucky, at least in my experience.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a bummer when I specify color because I actually do care, and then they send me the boring option that I didn't want, which happens surprisingly often.
Oh, I was so excited for you when I saw the turquoise and pink heart emojis, the blue and pink heart emojis. They just added them to iOS, and it's like you are pink and blue.
I haven't even seen that yet. Oh, gosh.
It's within the, like, last couple of days or something, but I was, like, scrolling, and it was, like, they added three new hearts in three new colors, but two of them are your, like, pink and blue. And I was like, ah!
That's important for my branding, yes. Yeah. I thought you were going to say...
Turquoise is piff.
I thought you were going to say you were excited for me when you saw that Lalo was going to maybe send me the Lily 3 in, like, a beautiful turquoise color. But then they actually sent me, like, this lavender color instead, which is, like, fine, but not what I wanted. But not.
So disappointed. And, like, I always feel so bad being disappointed because I'm like, wow, look at this, like, free thing.
Yeah.
It's not that. But it would be so much better if it was the right color.
I know.
So much better.
It's the most minor problem, but. All right. So another question, and we've been touching on this a little bit, is what are the most annoying misconceptions about sex toy reviewing? And I would say most frequent ones for me are I hate this when people say, ooh, like, how do I get that job? Sometimes they're joking and sometimes they're not. And I think that the implication is that it's a job you could just apply to. Like, I could, like, apply to work at a sex toy company as a tester. And, like, occasionally they do hire for that. But I think that that's more of, like, a focus group situation where it's, like, very short-term employment for probably not a lot of pay. And the real answer to, ooh, how do I get that job, is, like, build a following and a portfolio over multiple years of hard work. Like, it's just really not a sexy answer. But...
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I mean, I've gotten that. Yeah, I got that doing toy reviewing, and I get that as a sex worker, obviously. And, like, similarly, I'm like, start doing the job. How do you get the job? You start doing the job.
Yeah.
And hope people eventually start paying you enough for it that you can do it full time.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
That's all I got for you.
It's not a get rich quick scheme by any means. Like, I was making some money in the first few years of my blog, mostly through affiliate commissions, meaning that I get paid a small percentage of the sale price of the toy for referring people to it at no additional cost to the buyer. But it took me many years to get to a point where I was earning enough money that it could, like, cover my rent, for example, or cover any significant expenses. So it's definitely not something that you can just, like, get into and expect to be making money on right away. Another common misconception is people are like, oh, so you just masturbate all day long. I hate this one so much because you would not believe how little time I actually spend masturbating. I would say the vast majority of this job is admin stuff, like answering emails, sending invoices, chasing down those invoices, going to the post office to pick up a toy that they for some reason didn't deliver to my home, getting people to repay me for customs fees that I had to pay at the post office, charging toys, locating their instructions, just all of this kind of stuff. And then, of course, there's the writing and the editing and the taking photos and promoting on social media and website back end, updating my website, making sure everything's, like, secure and all of that stuff. Like, it's just so much stuff beyond the masturbating. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, I totally get why people would think it would be an appealing job if it was literally just masturbating, but it is not. There are so many other skills that are demanded by this job.
And I don't know. The thing that gets me is, like, I don't know. Frankly, even that would get old fast, first of all, if your job is jerking off all day. Like, come on. And, like, it comes with this implication that, like, your job is not a real job, which, mm-hmm. like, how do you think, where do you think any of this gets done? Like, how do you think it's just magic? Like, come on now. Yeah. Think about it for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And also, it devalues and ignores the, like, actual art and work of your job. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a writer. You do this because you love writing, because you're a fantastic writer, and you like communicating that way. Like,
thank you.
You're welcome. That is what you do. Mm-hmm. You happen to write about sex toys, but, yeah. like, to, like, completely skim over that entirely as if it must be a nominal afterthought of the other things you do, like, it feels similar to, like, yeah, some days I actually literally jerk off all day for work. But other days I, like, edit all day and learn a lot about, like, filming stuff and editing skills and visual storytelling and, like, I like playing with film. That is my art. There's a lot of stuff that I do with that. And also, yeah, I fuck on camera, but, like, I don't know. Pretty much anyone can fuck if they want to. Pretty much anyone can jerk off if they want to.
Yeah.
Not anyone can make the porn I make. I'm comfortable saying that. I've been doing this a minute. I'm not the best in the world, but, like, no, I have some skills that I've put into this. I have, like, I don't just jerk off all day, you know?
Yeah, I think that the term soft skills is usually used for these types of skills where it's like, yeah, almost anyone could do it, but could they do it well is the question. Mm-hmm. And pretty much anyone could try a sex toy and write what they think about it, but could they mm-hmm. compare it meaningfully to other toys? Could they explain its vibration quality and strength and how that fits into the industry as a whole? Could they explain, like, what its different uses are and what kinds of people would enjoy it?
Could they write something that I would want to read all the way to the end? Because I'm sorry, like, the first person who reads one of your toy reviews and is like, how could I do this? I just hand them one of the bad toy reviews that we read on that site back in the day, or even on some people's blogs. I'll be shady. It's fine. But, like, that is a list of features that could have come off the manufacturer's website and the back of the box. And, right. like, that is just – it is so, so easy for sex toy reviews to be dry and to be – a series of facts instead of a story. Mm-hmm. And, like, most people don't want that. Occasionally I would go to blogs, like, or I would go to reviews like that specifically if I was looking for an answer to a question. But even then I didn't read the whole blog. Right.
Right.
Like, it takes skill to make telling you about the 70th dildo I've written about still interesting.
Yeah, that's a nice segue into kind of our thoughts on, like, sex toy review format in general, because I think that the sort of SEOification of the internet has just made it such an unpleasant place to be. If you don't know what SEO is, bless your heart. I wish that I didn't have to know what it is, but it's search engine optimization. And when you search for sex toy reviews of, like, any particular toy, what you're going to find nowadays for the most part is people whose websites are SEO'd to death. And these are the really boring, dry reviews, in my opinion, that are, like, usually point form, like, here's the specs of the toy and like, here's what you need to know about it. And what I find troubling about these sites is like, first of all, they're mainly or exclusively for profit. So they're rarely going to tell you anything really substantively negative about a toy, even if it's not really that good of a toy. And secondly, yeah, like you said, like there's no element of like the personal in it. Mm-hmm. And I have switched to like a more like standardized format of doing sex toy reviews over the years. I usually these days will do like an intro section where I explain like what the toy is and what it does, and then a section on like things I liked about it, and then another section on things I didn't like about it. And mm-hmm. it is point form, and it is more kind of structured in a consistent way. And that's just mainly because like I've reviewed so many things at this point, it is really hard to put together a cohesive and interesting narrative about every single toy I review, because frankly, most of them just don't inspire strong emotions or big mm-hmm. thoughts in me. Occasionally, I will encounter a toy that actually does make me think some interesting thoughts or feel some interesting feelings that I want to write about in more of like an essay style format. Mm-hmm. But I do mostly do like point form. But the thing is, I do still try to infuse like a lot of personality into it. I really want it to come across that I'm a person with a perspective. And mm-hmm. Like I want it to come across that I'm kinky and that I have mental and physical health issues that affect the ways that I use toys. And mm-hmm. I want my relationships to be represented in those reviews as well and stuff. And so, you know, I try to strike a good balance of that. But anyway, all this to say, I guess my question is like, for you, like, what is a good sex toy review versus a bad one?
Yeah, I mean, for me, a sex toy review that is most helpful is often one that is entertaining enough to keep me engaged, or easy enough to skim and pull the quick bits of information that I need from it. Mm-hmm. And like clearly broken apart, right? And the thing that was coming to mind for me when you were talking is that like when you're looking at reviews for sex toys, I think your understanding of the reviewer is so much more important than in other industries, mm-hmm. like as the reader. And it feels like listening to like a food review or something, mm-hmm. right? Whereas like if I'm looking up a review of the newest iPhone, right? That person is just gonna tell me how it works. They can show me pictures of that they took on it to show me the differences in the camera. Like I can just see how it functions and how durable it was. But with sex toys, someone's going to tell me this was strong. Mm-hmm. Or they're going to tell me that it was really buzzy, right? In the same way that someone reviewing food might be like, oh, this was really, really spicy, mm-hmm. right? And like someone from the UK is going to have different tastes on what is spicy than someone from freaking Mexico or something, right? Yeah. Like, right. And I need to find someone who has taste buds that align with mine. And mm-hmm. similarly with sex toys, I need to find someone whose scale I at least understand, right? Who I have seen has used a toy that I have used and described it in a similar way to me, right? I think it's strong. They also think it's strong, right? I think this thing is annoyingly buzzy and they don't fuck with it either. Great, right? This person loves G-Spot toys and has tried 30 of them. Fantastic. That's who I'm going to go to pick the best G-Spot toy, mm-hmm. right? So I think the personal connection to the reviewer is also particularly helpful for me, particularly in this industry more than anything else.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to one of the things that I really value in sex toy reviewers' work, which is when they're able to identify if they didn't like something about a toy, like why didn't they like it? And I think mm-hmm. a lot of times when you see people who are just sort of like general sex writers or even general writers doing sex mm-hmm. reviews for Cosmo or what have you, I think that they tend to not include as much detail on this in particular, like their own preferences and how those relate to what the toy is doing or not doing for them. Because, for example, there's a reviewer named Felicity who writes Falophile Reviews, which is a website that I check pretty often for especially like specs and technical details about toys. And she reviewed the Snail Vibe, which is a dual stim toy that I really enjoyed. And she really didn't like it because the shaft part of it that goes inside the vagina is very long and straight. And she wanted more of a G-spot stimulator. And I hadn't even really thought about that because I like A-spot stimulation, which is pretty deep inside the vagina. And so something that's long and straight can sometimes hit that spot. And so I enjoyed that aspect of it. It hit a spot that I wanted it to hit. But Felicity was able to explain like that she wanted a particular thing that this toy didn't give her, as opposed to some people who like don't have as much experience or aptitude at writing sex toy reviews where they'll just be like, this thing was bad. Mm-hmm. It was just bad. And it's like, well, I can't really know how to assess the usefulness and truth of your review for me if I don't know why you think it was bad. Mm-hmm. And so I always try to do that because, like, part of my ethic as a sex toy reviewer is not only that, like, it's very rare that a toy is just objectively bad, as you said, but, like, also that I don't want to shame people whose tastes are different from mine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like a common division in the sex toy reviewing community is like rumbly versus buzzy vibrations. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people prefer rumbly vibrations, meaning that they're like lower pitched. You can sort of feel them deeper in the body and they're less likely to cause numbness. But I usually do try to make a point to say there are a lot of people actually who like buzzy vibrations, meaning that they're like higher pitched. They stay more on the surface of the skin. They can be more of like a sharp sensation and they can cause more numbness potentially. But there are people who prefer that. And so if I say that a toy is buzzy, I'm not saying like it's a bad toy necessarily. I'm just saying that it's buzzy. And I think that that's like something to look for in a sex toy reviewer is like not only do they explain the reasons for their tastes and not only do their tastes like match yours or you at least understand where they're coming from, but also like they're not shaming people for having tastes that are different from their own because we don't need to be doing that. There's just no reason for it.
Yeah, and there is a difference between a bad toy and a toy that doesn't suit you.
Yeah.
And it is useful to be able to articulate that, like, and to be able to recognize that. Like, that is kind of a baseline skill in any sort of reviewer. Like, is this bad at doing its job, like what it sells itself as, or is it just not to your taste?
Yeah, I always try to specify if I can in a review, like, who do I think this would work for, if anybody? And if I don't really have a good answer for that, then I'm confident saying it's a bad toy. Sometimes there's just a vibrator that's like so weak or so hard to use, or there's like a butt plug that's like dangerously designed or something like that, where I will say like, this is a bad toy and I don't think anyone should buy this. But for the most part, I'm able to say like, if you have these very specific needs and or you've tried these types of toys before and you liked them, then maybe you might like this, but it wasn't my cup of tea. And those are the types of reviewers who I respect the most.
Yeah. And I really like you said, when folks are able to mention other toys like in their review, like compare it to, it's stronger than this or weaker than this. If you've used this toy, it feels similar in shape to that, you know, something like that. So that folks can, who maybe don't have quite the jargon or self-knowledge or industry knowledge that we do, can still have kind of touch points on like, okay, well, I can kind of think from there what this might feel like.
Yep. Another listener question we got was about how many sessions do you test a toy for before you review it? And I carry around so much guilt about this at this point in my life because I used to feel very strongly like you should test it like 5 times at least, like 5 different sessions, because it's really hard to tell sometimes how a toy performs in a vast variety of different situations unless you've tried it in a bunch of situations. Like, my sensitivity will change somewhat over the course of my menstrual cycle and depending on what other toys and what other sexual stimulation I've been having recently. It also changes at various points in the arousal cycle. So I used to really like to test it like at least 5 times. These days, I really feel like I have enough experience with reviewing that I can test it 2 or 3 times tops and like really know what I want to say about it and feel confident in what I want to say about it. But I don't think that I always would have had that skill, because now I know what I need to look for. Like, I'm like, okay, I want to test it at low arousal and at high arousal. I want to test it like when I've used another vibrator recently and when I haven't, when I've had an orgasm recently and when I haven't. And I can pack that into a much smaller series of testing sessions. But I don't know. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I remember feeling very deeply like, and like thinking it, there was like controversy around like folks who would like not test things thoroughly enough before reviewing it or whatever.
Right.
And I do care considerably less deeply now. I mean, when I'm reviewing now, when I'm reviewing things on video, it is often more a like, what the fuck, box opening thing. What the fuck are those?
Unboxing.
Unboxing. Thank you. I was like, the thing where they open the things. unboxing first reaction type videos and like first time using it, which is fun. And then like, I will sometimes do like a summary or whatever. Depending on the product though, like, because I think there are some things that like, yeah, I want to try this in different instances, maybe with a partner, maybe in a harness. Like when I use the real cock, I used it in a bunch of different ways and like in a bunch of different situations, and like realized that there are different positions that I like really like and others where I'm like, oh, absolutely not. Weird. Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Because it was like specifically a fancy new dick, but like it had a lot going on with it, right? Whereas like, I don't know. If you hand me like a $40 battery operated clit vibe, no matter how many times I use that, it's never going to be a magic wand. It's not going to like,
yeah.
I can hold that and be like, okay, this is, I can tell you the range of how I'm going to feel about this. I'm either going to be mediocre on it or I'm going to hate it, you know, like, so there are some things where I'm just like, all right, I have a couple of questions I need to answer about this, but like using it five times, it's not gonna, if the fifth time it is magically spectacular, that's probably an indication of some other variable involved in that fifth time, not the toy, you know, yeah. Like,
right.
So I think now I am much more inclined to be like, how many questions do I have about this toy? How many ways do I want to use it? Is it on the fence? Am I like, not sure how I feel about this one? Let me come back to it a couple times. Like, it was good, but didn't quite get me there.
Yeah.
I think, now here's another question though. What's a testing session? Are we saying sitting down using only this toy, beginning to end, making yourself come? Because like when I was writing reviews, sometimes a testing session was I got halfway through a paragraph and was like, shit, how do I – hang on. And put it on my dick for a second and be like, yeah, yeah, okay. And back to what I was writing, right? Yeah. Like,
right.
It feels a little bit more ephemeral. I'm just kind of fiddling with it in addition to occasionally jerking off with it.
Yeah, for me these days, a testing session, first of all, I will smoke a lot of weed before a testing session. And I wrote about this recently in a newsletter, and I was like, I know it sounds weird to show up fully blazed to your job, but like, I know from experience, I'm actually better at that part of the job when I am blazed, because it makes me slightly more sensitive, not to the point where I'm going to give a bad toy a good review, but to the point where I'm going to give it a fair shot. Instead of being grumpy, especially because a lot of times these testing sessions happen in the afternoon or early evening after a full work day of other stuff, the kind of admin stuff I was talking about before. And so, yeah, I need to shake off my grumpiness a little bit and have a little bit of like beginner's mind in trying the toy. And also, you know, raise my sensitivity a little bit and just relax so that I can enjoy it. Because if I'm just going in with fully sober work mode brain, I know I'm not actually going to give it the fair shake that it deserves. And that's me personally. I'm not telling sex toy reviewers in general to smoke weed. That's just like, I think it's important to know your own body and your own brain and know like what's going to work for you in your process. So I'll smoke a bunch of weed and I'll sit down with a notebook and pencil. I know some people like to take digital notes. Some people like to make voice recordings. I don't like digital notes because my fingers have lube on them and I can't unlock my phone and or type properly. And I don't like voice notes because then I have to fucking transcribe them. Mm-hmm. And that's another step. So I use a notebook and a pencil. And I'll have that next to me. I'll usually like read the instruction manual of the toy, write down anything relevant from there, if it's like waterproof or how many speeds it has, whatever. And I'll really do my best to give it a fair shake in terms of like read erotica or watch porn or do whatever else is going to turn me on, because feeling turned on is really important to whether a toy is going to work well. And also realistically, most people are going to be using toys when they're like at least a little bit turned on, like at least enough that they're like, you know, excited about the idea of using the toy. And I will use it and take notes. And I always try to get off with it in a testing session. But the thing is, like, it's actually pretty rare that I get off with a toy I'm testing for a review, because honestly, just most of them are not that good. And I really will give it my best shot. We got a question in here that was about, like, if you're using multiple toys at once, like a vibrator and a dildo, how do you separate the sensations in your mind so you can review them? And I will say, like, I don't tend to use two different toys that I'm reviewing both of them at the same time, because I can't really separate the sensations. So what I'll do instead is, if I want to use more than one toy at a time, for example, if I'm testing a clit vibe and I want to use a dildo to help me get off more easily or to just make it feel better, I'll use a dildo that I've used a zillion times. I know what it feels like. It's baseline. Like, it's like in terms of a scientific study, it's like the control group part of the study. Like, I know what that feels like. I do that with dildos a lot too. I'll use a vibrator that I use all the time. So I'm comparing it the way I would compare it to any dildo I would use normally. And that just gives me a better sense of like where it would fit into my personal sex life. And yeah, when I am writing the review, I do sometimes like just grab the toy and use it quickly a little bit more, like just to remind myself, like, is it really as buzzy as I made the note that it is? Or, you know, and that is helpful for me. Another listener question we got was, what's the worst way a brand has reacted to a review you wrote? And our friend Epifra, again, she has the, I think, worst reaction that a brand has ever had to a review that I'm aware of, which is a brand threatened to sue her because she reviewed a toy that was shaped like a sphere, and it was a really bad toy that made a lot of claims that were not lived up to, and she nicknamed it the shit orb. And the thing about Epifra is she's legendarily kind of snarky and kind of mean. If she doesn't like a toy, that's part of her appeal. That's part of why people like to read her reviews. Right. And this company was upset that she called them the shit orb, and they threatened to sue her. I've never personally had a company threaten to sue me. I have had companies attempt to get the money back for a sponsored review via PayPal, which is bad because it threatens my literal livelihood, because PayPal could decide to just shut down my account if they think I've done something wrong. I have had companies be very angry and demand that I make changes to the review, which I will only do in cases where it turns out I was actually wrong about something. Like, I wrote that it didn't have a feature that it did have or something like that. And then I have had also people sexually harass me from companies. I don't know why they think that that's going to get them a better review. But in all of these cases, like, I've had to develop ways of preemptively dealing with these problems ahead of time. And one of the ways is that I'm very clear every step along the way in my emails, in my invoice, everything. I say, this is going to be a fair and honest review, not necessarily a positive one. And if they don't read the numerous times where I've said that, that's on them. But I need them to know that. And there are companies that will say, like, well, can we send it to you first? And if you like it, then we'll pay for a review. And then I'm like, no, because then I'm doing literally free labor of testing a toy for potentially no financial payoff. Like, I think people really devalue the work involved because they think, well, it's just masturbation. And like, yes, it appears to be just masturbation, but in fact, it is my work and I am good at it in this particular way. And so Yeah, I don't do all sponsored reviews these days. Like, there are products that I review that genuinely I'm excited about them or have opinions about them that I want to share. But a lot of the reviews I do these days are sponsored, and I'm super clear with them. Like, it's even though you're paying me, I am going to be honest. And whatever happens, like, that's how the cookie crumbles. Like, that's just how it goes. And that's really, really important to me, because if I ever compromise my integrity by writing nice things about a toy I don't like, I know that my readership is going to be able to know that and is going to lose their trust in me. And it's really important for both me and my livelihood that that does not happen.
Yeah. I know we have a mutual friend who her policy, I don't know if she's still reviewing toys, but her policy at the time was I don't think she did many sponsored reviews, but hers was, I will write about, like, you send me your toy, you can, or, you know, you can pay me about it, whatever. I will write about it if it's good. I don't like writing bad reviews. You won't, I won't be mean to you on the internet. You won't get any of the links you wanted, but I won't, I don't like writing bad reviews. I won't be mean about you on the internet. And, like, that is moving to a place where I was, and I think part of the way I'm going to reapproach it in doing it now, because it is not, it would not be making, like, I wouldn't be doing sponsored reviews so much as review in exchange for the product, because for me, there is, like, I'm only interested in reviewing toys that I'm only, that I'm at least a little bit excited in owning at this point, because I, similarly, we both have a lot of toys and not a ton of space at this point.
Yeah.
It's just, they're just taking up space. And also, like, because having a different products to shoot with, like, it is creating a video for me that is something, that is a new thing to film. You know what I mean? That has, like, slightly more, I think, like, evergreen entertainment potential than a written sex toy review, in that people will come to it because I'm cute or I'm funny or I'm hot, and they like all those things in the way that, like, I think people are less likely to come to, like, written reviews unless, like, your brand like Piff, where it's like you have this very specific voice, right? Obviously, you have a very specific voice too.
No, I'm not taking anything you're saying as an insult. I think, yeah, exactly.
Like, people come to you for your essays and your personal stuff, and like, you're obviously also a talented reviewer.
One more listener question, I think, and this one is about, like, how can consumers find reviewers who are ethical and honest and whose tastes align with theirs? We already sort of touched on, like, figuring out how someone's tastes align with yours, or if they do. But in terms of finding ethical and honest reviewers, like, first of all, I would look for, like, when they're reviewing a toy, do they ever say negative things about that toy? And it sounds so obvious, but there are a lot of reviewers who are taking money for reviews, and that deal means to them that they have to be positive about it. And I'm not really going to begrudge people for making money as long as they're not spreading misinformation, but I do think that those are not the people I would look to if you're trying to figure out actual information about whether a toy is good or not. I would look through their general archive of posts and see, are they ever mean about a toy? Are there particular brands that they're, like, never mean to? Because even me, like, I have certain brands of sex toys that I really love that I pretty consistently think that they make good stuff, like WeVibe or Fun Factory or what have you. And even them, if they do a bad toy, or if they have a good toy with a bad feature, I'll say so. Like, I have no problem saying that. And I'm very suspicious of any reviewer who never has anything negative to say about particular products or particular companies. I would also look to, like, what their financial motivations are. Like, this can be complicated because, as I said, like, I do often accept money for reviews, but it's very important to me personally that that not come with strings attached in terms of the review needing to be positive. But there are people who are not as, you know, intense about that rule. And there are also people who don't even disclose when money is exchanged. Like, I always have a note at the bottom of all my sponsored reviews and sponsored posts that's like, this was sponsored, here's what that means. As always, all writing and opinions are my own. but not everybody, you know, will disclose or is scrupulous in that way. Not to judge, but I am a little judgy about it. And I think that oftentimes if someone is taking a very salesy approach, like you can just feel it. You can get a gut feeling from reading that kind of stuff where like you feel like you're being manipulated in the same way that like a TV commercial manipulates you. Whereas if it's just a real person writing about like their real opinions on a sex toy, I feel like that feels pretty different.
Yeah.
But it's really just about like finding people who you think are good and developing trust in them over time. Because I think that that's going to give you the best recommendations of like what toys you might like if you find a reviewer or more than one whose tastes you agree with and connect with.
Yeah. I will also say, I think everything, like I agree with everything you said, obviously, and specifically about sex toys. I will also say, in terms of like gut checks, lately, and kind of bringing us back to what you were saying about the SEOification of the internet. Lately, when I'm looking for information on like a review of a product or like a niche thing, I am finding myself looking for often personal blogs, but like independently run websites, with just that like middle ground amount of polish, right? Enough where it's like, oh, you are clearly very passionate about this thing that you do. This thing that you do is not computers, but this thing that you do, you are really passionate about, and you've been doing this for a really long time, and you've put a lot of time into this website or this Reddit account or what, like, wherever you host your thing, wherever you talk about your shit, like, I am finding a lot of value in finding, like, I'm like, no, who's nerdy about this online and where are they talking about it?
Right.
And, like, going past the, like, you know, news, like, websites that have reviews like TechCrunch or whatever, Cosmo ads or, you know, whatever, what have you. And, like, going past anything that feels like very SEOified, that is full of ads with the big headers and little sections and like information shaped sentences, but nothing that feels like something spoken to someone. That was cribbed from a Neil Gaiman tweet, but I liked it.
It's really accurate. Yeah.
It was describing, someone asked, ChatGPT to write a bunch of, fake paragraphs of fake things that happened in Neil Gaiman books that didn't happen. And so they were, and they asked him about it, and he's like, it doesn't give you information, it gives you information shaped senses. But anyway, the articles that feel like that, that just feel like a series of facts that don't feel like any, like, don't feel like someone sat behind it and told you a story. Like, at this point, give me the fucking recipe blog with the story for three paragraphs beforehand, because I know it came from a fucking human who cares about the recipe they wrote afterwards, because they told me about their kids for three paragraphs. I didn't read it, but it told me they care.
That's such a good comparison, and, like, I do always get really, really angry when people are shitty about the personal stories on recipe blogs. First of all, because it's very often misogynist, like, let's be real, but also because I think that it displays just, like, a very different approach to the internet in general from how I look at things. Because, yeah, there's definitely times when I'm looking for sex toy reviews because I need a specific piece of technical information. And there are sites that I particularly rely on for that and trust for that. But for the most part, if I want to read a sex toy review, I want to read what a human thought of a sex toy. And humans are not SEO robots. Like, we have lives, we have other past experiences and hangups and insecurities, fears, desires, fetishes. It's just, it all ties together. And even if someone's experience and sexuality is very different from my own, I'm still going to find it really interesting to read about how all that stuff interacted with their experience of a particular sex toy. And I just think the internet is so much better when that type of content is emphasized and is available.
And it is complicated, right? Because, like, a lot of that stuff that is very SEOified, that is very formulaic, that is all on the front page of Google, is made in an afternoon by someone who has to write seven things that day because they're on an absurd deadline by like 17. I'm speaking to a journalist. I know you know this, but
yeah,
like,
and they're probably being paid like $20 or less an article. Like, it's not even worth it, but people need to make money. And so, yeah, I'm not mad about the people writing it. I just don't like that that's how the internet has become.
Right. Well, and like, that's, it is a problem that we're seeing across all art, I think, mm-hmm. just across the board, that stuff is churned out for the shine of newness rather than anything else. Mm-hmm. Like, we're racing towards speed and having the shiniest, fastest, newest thing that we can put in front of your face to entertain you for 30 seconds before you move on. Mm-hmm. And, like, that, without fail, tends to create some of the least interesting art in the world,
yep.
I find. And I'm, like, I don't love this trend. Like, I see it in fucking Netflix shows these days. Like, it's just, it feels like everything is pulling the lowest hanging fruit. And anyway, I've got off on a thing. But yeah, I don't know. I like, they're gross and they're not just one greedy guy sitting in a basement. They're a product of what our culture is doing to art as a whole, and it makes me sad. Anyway, I guess that's the end of the episode.
Support people who are writing reviews that feel artful and human. That's really kind of my view on it.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be like the best thing you've ever made for it to be art, but yeah. Like, I don't know. I do want it to have some kind of humanity in it.
Right. Oh, and by the way, one more final point. If you want to support a sex toy reviewer, if you think a sex toy reviewer is doing cool shit, not necessarily me, but I won't say no to it. Two of the best ways you can do that, share their stuff on social media and buy stuff through their links. Mm-hmm. Because they probably make affiliate money through those links. It's not charging you any extra money. And I think of it as basically a way of tipping them for the expertise and work that they put into writing those reviews. It's just a nice thing to do, especially if they're linking to more niche sex toy shops that deserve the monetary support as well, such as She Vibe, our friends at mm-hmm. She Vibe. Yeah.
And the best way to make sure you're actually giving them that affiliate commission is to clear your cookies and click the link that is on their page. That is how that works. Just yep. for folks who aren't super familiar with that.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for joining us for this very nerdy Inside Baseball discussion of sex toy reviewing. Always an interesting topic for me to go off on. I've been Kate Sloan. I have a blog, as I said, at girlyjuice.net. It has 11 years of sex toy reviews. If you go to girlyjuice.net/toybox, you will see a full but not very recently updated list of all the toys, almost all the toys that I own. And where I've reviewed them, I've linked. There are lots of toys on that list that I have not reviewed because I just have not gotten around to it. But if there's anything you're curious about, you can click through there. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. And I have two books out. 101 Kinky Things Even You Can Do has a lot of sex toy info in it, if you're curious about that. And the other one, 200 Words... I was going to say 200 words even you can do. That doesn't make
sense.
That's
what my brain gave me. That's not right.
The other one is 200 words to help you talk about sexuality and gender. I imagine sex toys are mentioned in that, but they're definitely not the focus.
Whereas sometimes the sex toy is my gender.
which toy?
The real no, box? Just I just it me. I'm the toy.
Okay.
I see. I'm Billy Lore. I am a sex toy and porn maker. You can find all my porn at billylore.com. I have a couple of reviews over there. I think next I'm going to review the magic wand. I've been grappling with, like, how? Because I've used it constantly for years and sold it a million times. And, like, how do you review the fucking magic wand? But they gave me one, so I should. So I think I'm going to tie it to my bits and then try and give the sales pitch.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, because I was like, I've talked about this toy so many times. How am I going to make this interesting without just being like, it's a fucking magic wand, buy it. Anyway.
I love that. You're elevating the art form.
That's coming soon. Magic, art, whatever. Plus a lot of other fun stuff. I'm planning a transmask orgy. Oh, it's going to be great. Anyway, BillyLore.com, BillyLore on Twitter, BillyLore _ on Instagram. Together, we're the Dildorks. We're at thedildorks.com, at thedildorks on Twitter and Instagram. Go to patreon.com/thedildorks to throw lots of money at us. Help us keep doing this thing that we do. For $6 a month, you get access to our Discord where we can hang out. And for $12 a month, you get access to our Patreon-only bonus episodes.
Thank you to our top-tier Patreon supporters who we love so much. Stabitha Christie, MB, Argo, Amelia, Amy, and Nat. We really appreciate the support. Thank you also to Protodome, who did our theme song. Thank you to Amy, who did our logo. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye. I want you in the morning. Let's make a cup of tea. Yeah. I want you in the morning. Let's stay with me.
Oh, also you have to, no rush at all, but you have to tell me when you watch the ambulance porn, because I'm like all dummy and mean and I'm not like that.
Yeah, I will file it away. We've been.
I like monologued. I was like, yo, I just talked for 20 minutes. I don't know where any of that came from. It's clever, though. I was proud of it.
Anyway. Excellent. Another listener questioner. Another listener questioner.
They're just walking around interrogating our listeners. Hey, you listen to the Dildorks. I had a question for you, pervert. Anyway.
I did one time. Oh, no, that's not. Never mind. That has nothing to do with anything.
Great.
I was going to say I did one time write a review of a toy while I was using it. And then I realized, no, that was my partner's mouth. That wasn't a toy.